Christ, it's not like he's ever away. You're in every fucking conversation. She just can't get enough of you. But when I was on tour, did I mention I was tour support for Pi? Not even Tom, but Pi. Again, when Pi did this and when Pi did that, honestly, at least the other fucking guys went to the toilet beforehand. We've had to wait while he dinkled his winkle.
Also, I fucking hate late people, so it stresses even a minute late, and I'm stressing me out. But when you got to go, you got to go.
Yeah, you're 2 minutes late.
Jojo, I just want to show you a new addition to our family.
Oh,
look at it.
Oh, it's a little pussy cat. The cat's just attacked you.
Yeah, we're working on the relationship. Hello, hi. Nice to meet you, Bruce.
Yes, nice to meet you, Tom. And I believe that we know someone in common, David Howells.
Oh, yes.
Yes,
oh,
yeah. Another big alcoholic screamer.
I don't know about screamer. I've never got that acquainted with him. But
how well do you know him?
Oh, I did two plays with him. I did a play called Bent.
Oh, where I sounds about right.
I played his boyfriend in it, and then he had to beat me to death with a stick.
Very Jordan. He would have loved that.
Yeah. Well, it's about the Holocaust. I don't know. It's sort of Joe Wharton gone really heavy. And then we did a Shakespeare play, Oxford. It's that real sort of, and no offence to jobbing actors, because I have and am one, but it's the summer outdoor Shakespeare season. You know
oh
those.
Oh, my God.
You know, oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I remember once seeing Danny Minogue in a production of Macbeth at the Edinburgh Festival. It was the first Fringe
is this
show.
A joke?
No. It was at the Botanic Gardens, and it was in 1999. 2000, something like that, and it was all outdoors, and it was good.
I mean, I remember seeing Jason Donovan give his Lear.
To whom?
That sounds like a euphemism.
To society. Because I believe he's giving his Lear in the... Is it the final week of Neighbours? We're not allowed to say dates, times, or places, because we've got to let the podcast people think we're actually just dead. So I believe at some time, Anno Domini, Neighbours is coming to an end.
So I have an admission to make. I mean, through my years, there have been times when Neighbours has been a huge companion to me. And I haven't watched it for fucking years. But yesterday I sat down, I thought, I want to watch the final episode, but I want to watch it in context. So this week I am watching Neighbours every day.
Are you? You've committed to the last run ever.
I really want it. I mean, when I was at university, it was big because no one did anything at university. And then when I worked in a video shop, I used to watch both episodes a day.
Because it was only at lunchtime. Yes.
Oh, yeah, I used to do that. So I used to come home from school and watch it in the... But then I used to do that with EastEnders. I would watch a Tuesday and a Thursday, and then I'd watch the Omnibus to check and see if anything had happened. Because I used to channel Angie Watts, and then I was Ethel, because I used to make non-alcoholic stout with the Soda Stream with cola concentrate and milk. I constantly had the skitters as a child because I didn't like my mum, right? So what I would do is, to spite her, I would get diarrhoea. I think that's where my bum problems come from. So there used to be a thing called Haliborange, which was a vitamin C supplement. And I used to, because she used to go out in the morning, don't answer the phone, don't answer the door. And then she'd come to the door and I'd answer it, of course, because you wanted to be polite. But I used to eat bags of Wheaties flakes and take Haliborange and just scoot and scoosh everywhere, just out of spite.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you know what we should do, actually? We should actually introduce you.
Yeah, maybe. That's a good idea.
But see but how overbearing and bum-licking you are. This is disgusting. I want to pull off my flesh. Oh, honestly, she's had a wide on the whole journey over here. Oh, Tom. So anyway, would you like to introduce your friend? Please go on another tour. Please, and do it fucking soon, man. Please. I need her out of my life for a couple of months. I'm so tired. I'm actually going to reach for Albran. And I'm going to spray this place like a Jackson Pollock.
You're going
to
start.
Who are we talking to? Come on.
Talking to the fabulous Mr. Tom Walker, aka Jonathan Pye. I don't know if you're aware of Jonathan Pye's work, but he's bloody marvellous.
I kind of, do you know, it's funny, and no offence, you seem really nice, right? See, when people wank on about things, the last thing you want to do is look at anything they've done, because you're like, I'm going to hate this.
Yeah. No, and it's also when I'm wearing Kate Bush t-shirt right now, and it's
very
really
wise.
It's really pissing me off at the moment. Hearing everyone, it's like it's mine. It's mine. You can't have that. But it's also exactly the same when, yes, when someone, you must watch it. It's like, no, fuck off. I'm not going to do that.
Exactly. Where are we? North fucking Korea. Well, I suppose we kind of are because we're in Scotland, but we'll go into that later.
Also, I think what I do is, let's be honest, it's an acquired taste, right?
What, Scotland?
Like my satire, my fucking, you know, having a go at Boris and blah, blah, blah. Mm. And I have said this a few times, which probably isn't very good for my sort of sales, but I'm not sure I would pay money to go and see me. Do you know what I mean?
How would you feel?
I'd much rather listen to someone funny.
How would you feel if someone offered you a free ticket to go and see you? Would you bother?
I'll watch anything free. Because also when it's free, it's I went to see Mary Poppins the musical, and that was a freebie, and I fucking loved it. And a few years later, I took my niece to go and see it and paid £137,000 per fucking ticket, and it felt a bit ropey.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, and also with a freebie, you kind of go, well, it's much more likely to surprise you positively. And if it's shit, you can laugh along. That's what I love about Edinburgh as well. Like, I mean, I'm probably gone are the days of the £10 ticket, but it used to be, you go up there, everything's a tenner, and you see some great stuff, which is brilliant. You see some mediocre stuff, which is like, I can never get that hour back. Mm-hmm. And then you see some of the worst stuff you could ever see. And that to me is the best. Mm-hmm. That's the bit. Those are the ones I remember a decade later. And also I think, I don't know if you agree, but a really bad stand-up is like really good drama. Mm. It's like edge of the seat stuff. And your heart is in your mouth and you're sort of just like that. I find that when it's really bad, that's
the better
amazing.
It is. It's like, that's why I go to Red Raw at the Stand on Monday, is that in the absolute hope that I see utter dog shit. Funny enough, I was given a free ticket with Julia Chamberlain to something in Soho Theatre, right? Stop bloody rolling your eyes at me, you bitch. So we went to see this and it was so appalling, but we'd had free tickets and they were friends of Julia's, but then I put on the old Facebook how dreadful I thought it was, and they wrote to Julia to complain that it was very unprofessional of me to... But that thing where I wrote and apologised and said, I'm really sorry, it was unprofessional.
Sorry for slagging you off.
Sorry for slagging you off, but I couldn't actually bring myself to say, no, it was really great, because it was shit.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
I won't name names.
Well, right. I just listened to a previous episode of your podcast, and it's like every time you go, I won't name names, and you just come straight out and do it, which I love, because it's be honest. But the reason I listened
delightful
to
delightful sausage. Anyway,
the reason I listened to the episode is called Be Honest, right? So I'm going to be honest. I've never listened to an entire episode of your podcast. I've listened to the little bits that JoJo puts out, and I texted her last night and I said, "Do I need to prepare anything?" And she just sent me, just listen to one of the episodes. And I listened to it this morning and I thought, nah, I don't need to prepare anything.
It's very free and easy.
I think it's very unfair to ask people to prepare something when we haven't bothered.
In fairness, you normally don't bother. I researched you in the car because I asked it a couple of questions. It's just, you know, what's that? Your name is like tinnitus. Because it is mentioned so often, there's nothing to quash it. But you have many fans of you on this podcast. You know a woman, Emma Skeets?
Menopausal mayhem woman.
Yes. We met her. Jojo keeps...
turning up.
Jojo makes friends, and no offence to Emma at all, because I've met her and she's absolutely lovely, but... Jojo, because she's my tour support, she sort of makes friends
with everybody
on my behalf. So all of my fans, if they want to weigh in, they just ask Jojo to be their Facebook friend, and then by virtue of that, there is sort of a
what tends to happen, Tom, is that through my stupidity I accommodate these people, and then, well, it has been mad because I get all these messages, could you just say to Tom, could you just ask Tom this, and it's just, could you just ask if Tom would go for a drink with me. It is insane, isn't it? I'm like your doorkeeper, but not very good at
Tom,
it.
Tom, you sound
or
like...
Or just sort of a pimp.
Yeah. the way this is sounding, it's like you're the Oprah of Elephant and Castle.
Mm.
That people just feel this Midas touch that, you know, if I can touch Tom, I'll maybe sell a book or...
Yes, I think that is how people do work, though, because they use other people to get to people, don't they?
That's very true. And we had a discussion about that recently.
It is interesting how sort of and I think a lot of this in hindsight was me projecting this, but it did feel at the time that the comedy world didn't exactly embrace me and wholeheartedly into their
fold.
They fucking hated me. But actually, now that I've had a bit of longevity and a relative amount of
success,
it's. You know, people are a lot politer. It was interesting going to Glastonbury because I've been to Glastonbury before, but I didn't hang out in the artist's tent. But, you know, Jojo's an old whore, so she sort of hangs out in, you know. And so I hang out with a lot of comedians this time round, and it's not what I would have experienced 3 or 4 years ago. People were much more sort of welcoming, and whether that is because, you know, like you say, it's like, well, I'll have a bit of what he's got. I'll have a few thousand of his followers, but maybe it is.
But we've talked about this before, though. There was a definite shift, wasn't there? Because comics were not, it wasn't a personal thing, and it wasn't a personal thing against Tom Walker, but against Pye. It was, I think, seeing that success and thinking, well, he hasn't earned it because he hasn't been on the circuit, that they had this kind of jealous, kind of visceral response to you.
Well, and I think it's a reasonable. You know, you see this guy who's put a YouTube video out, and then next year he's in Edinburgh and he's fucking everywhere, and you'd be like, fuck off. Do you know what I mean? I sort of get it.
I think for anyone that has a brain, you're owed nothing. No, seriously, you're owed nothing in here. So if we all worked in, say, McDonald's, for argument's sake, right, there is a career progression. Mm. You would start wiping the tables. You'd then be put into frying the chips. You'd probably end up a manager. With stand-up, you can think about the hugely amount of talented people that just do the circuit and don't. So I think unless you're absolutely crazy, no one's owe you success. And the way that we work now, societally, is you have to have that profile or this viral thing or whatever it is. And if people are jealous of that, they can F off. I was just going to say, Tom Walker, is he not in Keane or at some other band? Have I got that wrong?
No, there is not that I've ever Googled my name, but yeah, you put Tom Walker in, it's a pop singer. And then you put in Tom Walker comedian and some Australian dude comes up.
Oh, that's That's the same with me. Bruce Devlin is an Australian golfer who got in touch with me years ago at his management saying, can we get your Twitter name? I said, no, because it's my name, you big Aussie donkey. Why don't you go home and watch Neighbours like everyone else, you big smelly bitch? Oh, good Lord.
You're sincerely, Bruce.
Lots of love, Bunty. P.S. I hate you.
But then I do feel that there is an element now that because, you know, people have seen your success, it goes from how did you get that success being quite jealous and now, oh, he is really successful, so we want to jump onto his tailcoat. I mean, I know I'm doing that 100%.
You are, but no.
Hands in the air. Fucking well honest about it.
But also, I think JoJo, you know, having you as my warm-up and then suddenly you're going out to bat for me in all these green rooms and all these comedy clubs where you go, oh, he's just a fucking free speech Nazi, and you're going, come on then, give me an example.
Yeah.
I think that's helped as well. I think you've given me a bit of kudos. So you know.
Which is fucking miraculous given my reputation as a drunken whore. I had sex in a tent in Glastonbury, Dad. I told you that as well.
Oh. I'm not even going to dignify that with a response. This is like Christmas with the BBC repeats. Did you know she had thrush?
The thrush Christmas special.
Yeah. Birds of a thrusher. It's just filthy.
What I love is JoJo's takeaway from Glastonbury is
thrush.
She had sex in a car, then she got thrush in a tent. My takeaway is that she lost the fucking car keys in the middle of fucking Glastonbury with a quarter of a million people high on Mandy.
I know.
So, you know.
What's Mandy?
You know what Mandy is.
No, I don't know. That's why I'm asking.
MDMA.
Oh, right.
MDMA, like ecstasy. I think some people call it something else, don't they? Molly.
What's Tina then?
I don't know what Tina is. My drug taking isn't that expansive. I just...
It sounds familiar, but I don't
know. Oh, crystal meth, apparently. I think that's only for really low-rent bummers.
No, we don't need that.
I love the fact that whoever your producer is clearly a drug addict.
She's a vicious cross-dresser.
Nacy knows her way around a pillar three, don't you, love?
Yeah, Nylax. So how did the idea for Jonathan Pie come about then? And was this something that you did on your own, or, you know, have you collaborated with people? Or
no, it was something in my head. I always found I always loved behind the scenes stuff, you know, like All Right on the Night, when you suddenly see the cast of EastEnders stop and everyone laughs. But the ones that always got me were the newsreaders, because it was a more pronounced difference, because they're very official the way they talk, and then something goes wrong and then they go off on one. So that had always been in my head. And then I remember, like, years ago, I recorded a couple of little bits of it, and it is on YouTube, that one. I look really young in it, but it was never about politics. It was about other stuff. And then I'd been out of work as an actor for 20 years. It was desperate times. I decided to give up. And when you decide to give up a bit, kind of the jeopardy's gone. So I thought, I've got this character, fuck it, I'll just do something. And within about a month, I was getting really, I did three or four, and it exploded. And I kind of just knew, you go, now this is life throws you a bone once, maybe twice if you're lucky.
Well, yes.
So that's sort of how it started, and I'm still clinging on for dear life, really. What's weird is, for the first two or three years, I didn't feel comfortable in it. I didn't feel comfortable as someone who could write about politics. I didn't feel comfortable as a, for want of a better word, I mean, it's character comedy, but it's the techniques of stand-up, right? And I had no experience of that. But actually, the last tour I've done, the one that, you know, Jojo's been on the road with me, but that was the first time every night I walked on stage and I thought, I've got this. I've earned my stripes. I know what I'm doing. I feel comfortable with it. And I'm glad, like, at the moment, I'm kind of writing a podcast. I'm tentatively writing a sitcom. And it's what people were telling me to do 5 or 6 years ago. Write a sitcom. Get on telly. I wasn't sort of ready for it. But now that my shoulders have dropped a bit and I feel sort of comfortable with it, you can go, right, now's the time to sort of properly go for it, I think. Anyway,
I've never asked this question, because we've talked about Pie and where Pie goes from here and all this kind of stuff. And I know that you kind of go, oh, you know, kind of maybe want to try and do something different. But if you did, have you ever thought of another character to do? Would you do another character that was like, you know, not like Pie?
I don't think so. Again, it's like I accidentally fell into being a character comic, but I'm not, because I've got one character. And it's like, and let's be honest, particularly on stage, we're not, I mean, it's a character that's hiding a stand-up set. Do you know what I mean? It's me. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. So the next character would have to be so demonstrably different to him than it really would be caricature comedy. Do you know what I mean? What I'm really keen to do is find that Pie of a work balance. Do you know what I mean? That's what I'd really like to be doing, a bit of everything. But
I'd like to be writing another Pie tour.
Live tour, so that you can you can keep clinging on to those coattails. Yes.
So can I ask, because she really talks about it, and now that we've got you, you can imagine how thrilled I am today. I'm really enjoying this.
Think about this, though. Once this is over, you can now say to her, we've already done him, shut the fuck up about him. Do you know what I mean? You can finally, this is putting it to bed now. So
yeah, you would think with a normal person, but, you know, we're not dealing with normal. How did it come about then that you chose this?
There are a couple of things. I mean, I used to, without going into too much detail, I used to write with someone and he would be my warm-up act. And then we parted ways. So that as a writing partnership, you know, pretty quickly, ended.
We've put Tom on the spot now.
And when that happened, and it was a difficult time, but I already had a tour booked, and you go, well, I need a warm-up act. when I was up in Edinburgh, when I first did Edinburgh, I mean, that was the time when I really would walk into one of the artist bars and heads would turn and, you know, snarling. And one of the only people that I met up in Edinburgh, one of the only comics that just met me, said she liked my work and took me out on the piss, and was Jojo, and really sort of was just like, oh God, this is truly, I assume this is how everyone would be, right? And I've seen her do... seen her work before, and you just thought, I think I could spend 10 weeks on the road with Jojo, and we did. And what's great, and you know, without what is amazing about Jojo is she understands the job in hand, which is sort of wrangling a bit and, you know, just warming them up and everything, but she watches the show every fucking night, which is mental, but it means that I've got someone on tour where I can walk off stage and she'll go, you fucking smashed it tonight. But more importantly, when I walk off stage going, oh God, she's always honest. It was like, well, that was a fuck up. And then we'll go and have a pint and discuss why it was a fuck up. And so it's like, I've kind of got a director with me as well. Do you know what I mean? And she'll sometimes give me notes and I'll go, yeah, thanks, Jojo, and walk off, go, fuck off, I'm not doing that. but then other times she'll go, the reason that's not landing is A, B, and C. And I always work technically. I don't want to get into, you know, it's like you need to give it a beat there, da-da-da-da, and then land the line. And so that's how Jojo sort of came to, you know, be my bitch.
I know, and I bloody love it. But
do you?
I do.
You do. It's so, do you know what is lovely about Jojo? About the fact that she doesn't lead with it in any which way. She won't ask other people for any favours to promote this, but my God, she's very keen to tell them that she's hanging about with you. So what you have really done is actually fed into her delusion, and I presume you're not paying her a fee for warming up and directing, so you could go to Equity.
And to be fair, actually, I could have lost that fucking gig because Tom came and watched me die spectacularly at the Comedy Store at the British Comedian of the Year final, so.
But that was what was interesting about that was, yeah, if I'd have seen that before we went on tour, I mean, you know,
those dates would have come out the diary.
But that was, I mean, that's what I love about stand up is I watched Jojo do a set that I've heard over the tannoy, the majority of it, hundreds of times, and walked on stage. She opened with, you know, one of her classics. And
hello.
Everyone, I felt it. I felt her feel it. And you go, oh, she's going to bomb. And it's like, how is the same material done in the same way? And yet you just know when it's not. It was really fascinating. And as honest as she is with me when I fuck up, it was quite nice for her to walk off stage and we just oh dear darling.
I think that kind of honesty genuinely is very important, because people automatically assume that anything to do with being honest is immediately confrontational and rude, and it's not. It's also there to help people. It's a bit like we had Lorraine Kelly on, and I was a lot fatter than I am at the moment. I went, oh, I need to do something, I'm so fat. No, you're not. Don't lie. You know, I know I'm not looking in the mirror. So I think it's fair enough to turn around and say, you know, your jokes are honking, hen. You could do with a wash. When was the last time you had a shower?
It would have been slightly different if she'd have walked up to me and gone, I fucking smashed it, didn't I? And then you'd go, but you could see on her face.
But people do that. They come up to you. So I MC almost exclusively. Well, yeah, I only MC. And people come off and they go, really enjoyed that. And you're like, oh, where was I then? You know, because there was no response. That happened recently. And you were like, oh, you thought that was good. I'd hate to see what you think is bad.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I said this on another podcast, but that girl that was doing a show at the Stand in Glasgow, and she'd sat in the audience, watched the other people, and then she went on stage and came off stage and said, oh, it's very different when you're on stage. You can't hear the laughter from stage.
There was no
laughter. Yet. That's why. But people just, she just thought she was having a great gig, but just couldn't hear the laughter.
Who was this?
I genuinely don't remember her name. I don't think I need
Bonnie
to.
Bonnie Langford. Up to her old tricks.
But that is the thing, especially in this business, there's nothing worse than people blowing. Don't get us wrong. I love smoke being blown up my arse. I like being complimented. Of course we do. Shut your actual face.
That was a segue into a different arena, wasn't it?
But you know, that's the thing. She's so lurid. It's just disgusting. It's like she rises from a peat bog every day, just expelling nicotine and venom. like a dragon in 18th century whale.
You
don't know what hole the smoke's coming out.
I don't know why I put up with any of it.
So Jojo, you were on tour with the band we're talking to today. Could you tell us how you enjoyed that?
I hate it every minute.
Oh.
No. But it is that thing. I hate it when people just say, you know, oh, that was fabulous or that was great. Mm. Or people say, oh, I was fabulous. Bullshit. If they're, and then people do get upset if you go, that was honking. Bruce likes a snore.
I remember, and I think I've mentioned this on before, and there was some comedian, I genuinely can't remember his name, because you know if I did, I would name him.
Absolutely no.
And he turned up with his girlfriend, and she was just a filthy boot. You know, she was imperious, she was sneering. She probably was one of the people that got Danny Minogue to block me on Twitter, but more of that later. And I remember he died on his bahookie every night, and she came back into him and she went, well, maybe if you just read things out of Heat magazine like he does, then you'd get a laugh. And I went, there's no reading in Heat magazine. It's all pictures, you stupid cowdad. I'm not being spoken to like that. Your boyfriend's duff. He's probably a duff ride. He's a duff comic, and you're an ugly cow with a face that could stop a train. Hashtag just saying. But I think it's really important to be honest with people like that, because how dare she judge me when she was, you know, fielding a stiff and not in the way that I would like. I mean, how rude. But it's funny, because going back to David, who I know quite well, he made out you guys were really big pals. So I can't wait to phone him and say, Tom barely knows you. He thought you were called Jojo.
Oh, God, no, I mean, that's not true. I haven't seen David for years.
Oh, honey, time has not been kind. You're not missing anything. She's trapped down at the Victoria.
Now, though, you star in a podcast I was just on. How are you, David? Nice to see you.
Hey, girl. Do you remember you bludgeoned me to death? Well, I really enjoyed it. So, you're writing a sitcom at the moment. Are you thinking of writing a sitcom?
I'm writing a podcast so that I can get used to writing dialogue, but I've got yes, that is my plan over the summer to finally tackle it. Because I don't want it in 10 years' time when it's all over and I'm living on the streets. Mm. For someone to turn and go, well, or for me to think, well, I never got that sitcom on telly. Well, it's never going to be on telly if I don't fucking write it. So I've got to, you know, do that so that I can prove that no one will have me on the telly.
But that, do you not think, especially because Pi's got famous through the internet, do you think there's a need for telly anymore in terms of if you want to do a sitcom?
Yeah, money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think
the money's
also
in online now.
Maybe, but I just want to be on the fucking telly. That's all.
But you know,
I mean, I'm still old school. BBC One still means something to me. Do you know what I mean? You know.
That's the whole thing. That it's really interesting that you say that, because that still means something to me. Because people can go, it's online. It's not the generation game, love. You know, that's if you think about the television that we had growing up, because I assume we're girls of a similar age.
Yes, yeah.
You know, but it is that thing. And yeah, do you know what you could be? You could be Jonathan Pye, but for GB News as a roving reporter.
I think he would. I mean, it's one of the elements of the sitcom I'd be interested to look at. If he ends up in somewhere a bit like GB News, and he would fucking hate it. But he's not only has he got to present the news, which is bad enough, but from a GB News sort of standpoint.
But you do GB News, and you don't follow their standpoint.
No.
No, and at least you put a comb through your hair.
I do put a comb through my hair.
Which I think is a good thing, because it's flyaway central today. But you're always, I mean, you're...
No, I think
because I think a lot of people think if you go on there, you get a crib sheet, this laminate sheet, and you have to say, oh, that's bad, or this is bad, or whatever sort of thing. Whereas I think you show that you don't.
No, absolutely. And have had not a huge criticism, but I've had a few raised eyebrows and people that have said things, you know, like, why are you going on GB News and kind of, what are you doing to me? going on GB News.
And a massively valid answer is because they're fucking paying me.
Exactly. They're paying me. And, you know, and
if
genuinely,
you want to pay me 200 quid to not go on it, I'll take your money. You
absolutely. Know, that's the thing. I remember there was a guy who is a Scottish guy, an actor. I won't say who he is, Greg McHugh, very nice guy. He'd come up, he does a panto run at the SECC. So you can imagine panto, it's a Crossroads panto, not the show, but the production company that used to be, I can't remember the big one. And he'd said, oh my goodness, times must be tough. I see so many comedians on GB News. And it's like, you've just earned maybe 80 or 100 grand. Allow people to earn a living in the way that they would. And, you know, no offence to Greg, but I just thought, what a short-sighted, silly thing to say.
Well, I think my answer has always been when people have said, oh, why are you doing that? And people generally that have criticised me going on it have never watched it in the first place. And secondly, I, like you say, I've never been asked to say anything or take a particular side. I go on with my opinions, what I think about things, and give my side of the argument, whatever it is. I never, ever feel compromised, which weirdly I did when I did Sky News. I did the papers and I did feel that there was like, oh no, you can't mention that. And you can't, GB News have never said you can't mention this, you can't mention that.
See, I'm really hoping that Lorraine Kelly brings back a paper review on her show because I should be the only panellist on that. I mean, that will be so funny first thing in the morning, fingering the Sunday Post going, oh no. Would you ever do an Edinburgh run?
Oh, now well,
the first show I did was an Edinburgh run, and I was very naive. And like I say, I hadn't had any stand up experience. And I remember when I got I was told I was doing it, and I asked the promoter. I was like, "So, how many days off a week do I get?" he laughed in my face. It was relentless. I think I'd probably be more predisposed to do it now because I sort of have found my feet. But
it would be lovely if you, as a famous person, came up to the biggest arts festival in the world, in which knowing people would come and see you and leave poor little Jojo with nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
So
exactly.
I'm glad you've shot out your soul.
That is one of the big things now, isn't it? Is that the big names come and do Edinburgh. It shouldn't really be for big names.
I suppose there's two ways of looking at it. They're fully entitled to do whatever the hell they like. I really object to the work in progress, though, of, say, a Michael McIntyre or a John Bishop. I just think, guys, you're taking the piss.
Yeah.
Because they could turn up in that John Lewis toilet that I was in only the other year, sell it out, regardless of smell. That's the thing. They could do January the 2nd.
Yeah, and sell it out.
But also, them doing a work in progress, it's they're going, I can't really be fucked, but I'm just going to rinse Edinburgh for the coin. And also, it's like if you're playing a big venue and you're charging, you're sort of, I mean, presumably some comedians go up there and sort of work slightly outside the festival, maybe. Mm. Do you know what I mean? And charging proper dollar for their shows. And I don't know. I wouldn't sit comfortably.
Do you know what I think would be a nice thing? And some of them do it. So for places like the Stand or the Gilded Balloon or whatever, if you're having like a late gig or a mixed bill gig, get a famous person on that. Yeah. You know, get them on to do like 10 minutes or whatever and really upset the headliner with no profile. but seriously, you know, that's a nice nod, isn't it? I'm keeping it real, then I'll take my 50 pounds.
Well, in fact, at Glastonbury, John Bishop pitched up, didn't he, and did 10 minutes.
Oh, my God, Glastonbury. Oh, violence, you wouldn't like that. I'm scared to hit her, actually, because of her weak bone density. She's just gristle. What was it Bianca Del Rio said? You begin to be dust, you end your life as dust. That's why I don't dust. I could be moving around someone I know. Something like that. Very funny.
It's great.
What do they call it when your bones go manky?
Osteoporosis.
Manky. You've got manky bones.
You've always had them.
My mother had osteoporosis, so it's coming my way.
Oh my God.
She also died at 61, so could you just be a little bit
fingers and toes. We'll not bother with that joint party. I'll just do the vol-au-vents for your buffet. Get in the ground.
But no, I agree. I think if the bigger names came to Edinburgh, they should go on as little surprises around the city at the Best of the Fest or the Pick of the Fringe. Or that would be a much better way to run the festival. Yeah. But we're not in charge, Bunty, so that's why we can't do it.
Well, that's very true, actually. But when I'm in charge of Scotland, there will be no Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Oh, well,
no, I just want crying 24 hours a day. I feel we've really run the gamut.
I'm actually exhausted. Oh. Are you going to pop up to Edinburgh for a few days, even just for a visit, my lovely?
I am considering it. I will see how I feel. I really want to see your show.
Please. 4:45 Gilded Balloon.
Actually, I was about to say, why don't you plug it, Jojo? It's your fucking podcast. You can do what the hell you like.
The podcast is at 12:30. They know that. The people that listen to the podcast know when the podcast is.
How dare you?
I do. I very dare.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, Tom, after speaking to you, I will meet you for a drink. Not a wee-wee, but a drink. So bring some rubber.
That would be lovely. Just come up to Edinburgh for a pint.
Oh, don't go and see any shows. I certainly won't be. To belch.
Oh, shit. He's barely turning up for hours.
That's not true, actually. Well, do you know something?
What?
Someone's paying me more money to be elsewhere. So until you replicate that transaction, go and speak to your pimp. Go and speak to your sugar daddy. You dirty bitch.
Well, on that note, shall we say goodbye?
Bumming for Bitcoin. Jonathan Pye gets in a lather. Tom, thank you so much. I think that Tom Walker is ginger and half Scottish. Is that correct? He always wears a hat.
Oh, no, I think, isn't that Lewis Capaldi?
No.
Paolo.
He's got lovely. He still uses tongs. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Well, this has been
a
huge amount of fun. This has been, someone's showing you a phone, I can see that. But it's been a lot of fun. Oh, love
that. That's him.
Never heard
Tom
of him.
Walker.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah.
God almighty. Right.
Get him on next.
Aye, yes. Apparently he lives in a bin. Like Groucho from Sesame Street. Okay, we're off to edit this, so catch you soon.
It'll be out in a month or so. Yeah.
It might have gone missing.
Yeah, that.
We should replace the name to Bilge FM. Oh no, genuinely, it's such a pleasure. Really nice to meet
you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Godspeed.
So much. Bye.